And the passage that we shall be using as our launch pad comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and the second verse. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Corinth was an ancient city, and through the Roman Empire, it grew into a cosmopolitan city with many races there and religions. And the Corinthian church was established through Paul's evangelistic ministry. But in his first letter to the church, Paul is dealing with issues that had arisen in the church. For example, at Holy Communion, they celebrated with big meals and separation between the rich and the poor at the Lord's Supper. There were church members who were suing other church members. There was also sexual immorality in the church. And there were divisions again at communion. Family meals, one gets hungry, another gets drunk. And there were rivalry about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've got this one, but it's better than what you've got. And that's, if you like, all that was below the surface of the church. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. What about Bethania? How does the Corinthian church compare with Bethania? Like the Corinthians, we are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. That doesn't mean to say that we're perfect. We won't be perfect till we get to heaven. But we need to recognize how we are sanctified. And the Greek word for that is agiadzo, which means to make holy and to consecrate. It's like a church building, a cathedral. It is sanctified because it is set apart for the worship of God. And we are set apart to be God's witnesses. And it also means to grow in holiness, to grow in showing the likeness of Christ, to show that Christ purifies us from guilt, that we're called to be saints. J.B. Phillips puts it this way: to those whom Christ has made holy, who are called to be God's men and women. And there are a couple of things in Paul's introduction. He says, the church of God, which is at Corinth, not the church of Corinth, but the church of God. We belong to him, as do other churches that belong to Christ. We are one with them in the fellowship of Christ. And in a sense, we need to perhaps broaden our horizons here, because it's not just the Baptist Union, whether it be of Great Britain or of Wales. It means more than churches that belong to the Evangelical Alliance. We need to remember, whether we like it or not, that Orthodox churches and Catholic churches are also part of the Church of God. And we need, as we pray for the church, to remember the broadness of the church. And it tells us something about the individual Christian, because Christians come from all walks of life, in all nationalities, and we're consecrated in Jesus. We're put in a place, separated, set apart for God, dedicated and consecrated to God by the sacrifice of Jesus. Because he died for us and rose from the dead, he calls us to follow him. Follow me was an echo of Jesus' words throughout the Gospels. And in the preaching of the Gospel, now Christ has ascended, the word is, follow me. That means come apart, be holy, and grow in holiness as you follow me. And so we don't look just to ourselves and our fellowship, but we look to Christ and look to support and encourage one another. Our thoughts as a church. How do we see ourselves as Christians? Yes, we're individuals belonging to Christ, set apart for Christ, growing in Christ, but we also do that together as a fellowship, whether we're here sitting in the service or whether we're having tea and coffee afterwards. And whatever we do is for Jesus' sake. High fives, laser, bright sparks, kid zone, all for Christ. And we're set apart for him. Our calling is by Christ, and we're placed in Christ. Our character comes from Christ. I'm following Christ is our motto. The saints of God we belong to. We're not perfect, but we seek to grow in love, in reflecting Christ, and being Christian as we worship him, not just here together, but each day in our lives. When we get out of bed, we're in Christ for what we have in the day. And when we go to bed, we're in Christ for the things that have happened that day. For some, we need to say, sorry, Lord. For others, we need to say, thank you, Lord. And that begins to reflect Christ in the way that we live. We're looking for a new minister. We're thinking, well, there's the community and there's pastoral work, and it brings the two together. But we turn to Christ and we ask him to lead us and guide us, because we live amongst not just people that don't come to church, but almost unchurched generations. One of the things I found when I was chaplain to the RAF cadets in Mold was how much they were second and third generation unchurched. They hadn't got a clue about Christian things or the gospel. And it was great to be able to share month by month something of the good news of Jesus. And as we think of our community, we look to reach out, not just leaving it to the minister who will come, but thinking, how can I help? How can I encourage? It may be that in speaking with people, we mention God's love, we mention God's care, and maybe we're sowing seeds in their heart. Maybe they don't come to church straight away, but the contact has been made, prayers are made, and the day will come when they arrive, and the day will come when they offer themselves to Christ. Follow me. And then they are called to be saints, set apart from Christ, and learning to grow in Christ. There are two hymns that make the point. One is, may the mind of Christ our Saviour dwell in me from day to day. And there's the other one, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. May they flow in ceaseless praise. Saints, no, we're not perfect, but we're being made more like Christ each day. If you think of a sculptor carving a statue, there's the stone, and he's chipping away. And soon you'll find the outline of a body. Then you'll see the details, eyes, ears, nose, lips, the face, the body, the hands, the feet. And as the sculptor works away, so the likeness of the model becomes real. And as Christ and the Holy Spirit, the sculptors, chip away with us, like a statue, we become more revealed as Christ's people, set apart for him and growing in him in fellowship to reach out to those who need the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you call us to follow Christ. We pray that the way of Christ may be sculpted in our living, in how we live, in what we do, what we say, what we think. Help us then to be really your saints, set apart for you and seeking for others to join the sainthood. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen.